Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hello. Before we get to the latest episode of Think Inclusive, I want to tell you about another show I think you'll enjoy. I'm Diana Pastora Carson, and I'm the host of Beyond Awareness, Disability Awareness That Matters. It's a podcast for special education and general education teachers, for parents, and for community members who want to promote disability awareness from a progressive, research-based, dignifying, inclusive social justice lens. You can find it wherever you listen to podcasts or at gobeyondawareness.com/podcasts. Okay, let's get ready for the podcast for inclusionists. Think Inclusive, brought to you by MCIE.
From MCIE.
Just a couple of weekends ago, I taught an online class for special education candidates about supporting students on the autism spectrum. And we talked about a number of things, including what is autism. This is my second go around for this class, and I repeated something that I thought was really helpful the first time. I had the class read the About Autism page from the Autistic Self-Advocacy Network. Now, if you don't know who ASAN is, they are a 501c3 nonprofit organization run by and for autistic people. And I often point to them as an example of where to look when finding who the autism experts are. So before we get into our interview with Anthony Iani, author of Centered Autism Basketball and One Athlete's Dreams, I wanted to read ASAN's definition to you. It's a couple of pages long, but I think it's worth hearing. Autism is a developmental disability that affects how we experience the world around us. Autistic people are an important part of the world. Autism is a normal part of life. It makes us who we are. Autism has always existed. Autistic people are born autistic and will be autistic our whole lives. Autism can be diagnosed by a doctor, but you can be autistic even if you don't have a formal diagnosis. Because of myths around autism, it can be harder for autistic adults, autistic girls, and autistic people of color to get a diagnosis, but anyone can be autistic regardless of race, gender, or age. Autistic people are in every community, and we always have been. Autistic people are people of color. Autistic people are immigrants. Autistic people are a part of every religion, every income level, and every age group. autistic people are women, autistic people are queer, and autistic people are trans. Autistic people are often many of these things at once. The communities we are a part of and the ways we are treated shape what autism is like for us. There is no one way to be autistic. Some autistic people can speak, and some autistic people need to communicate in other ways. Some autistic people also have intellectual disabilities, and some autistic people don't. Some autistic people need a lot of help in their day-to-day lives, and some autistic people only need a little help. All of these people are autistic because there is no right or wrong way to be autistic. All of us experience autism differently, but we all contribute to the world in meaningful ways. We all deserve understanding and acceptance. Every autistic person experiences autism differently, but there are some things that many of us have in common. Number one, we think differently. We may have very strong interests in things other people don't understand or seem to care about. We might be great problem solvers or pay close attention to detail. It might take us longer to think about things. We might have trouble with executive functioning, like figuring out how to start and finish a task, moving on to a new task, or making decisions. Routines are important for many autistic people. It can be hard for us to deal with surprises or unexpected changes. When we get overwhelmed, we might not be able to process our thoughts, feelings, and surroundings, which can make us lose control of our body. Number two, we process our senses differently. We might be extra sensitive to things like bright lights or loud sounds. We might have trouble understanding what we hear or what our senses tell us. We might not notice if we are in pain or hungry. We might do the same movement over and over again. This is called stimming, and it helps us regulate our senses. For example, we might rock back and forth, play with our hands, or hum. Number three, we move differently. We might have trouble with fine motor skills or coordination. It can feel like our minds and bodies are disconnected. It can be hard for us to start or stop moving. Speech can be extra hard because it requires a lot of coordination. We might not be able to control how loud our voices are, or we might not be able to speak at all, even though we can understand what other people say. Number four, we communicate differently. We might talk using echolalia, repeating things we have heard before, or by scripting out what we want to say. Some autistic people use augmentative and alternative communication, or AAC, to communicate. For example, we may communicate by typing on a computer, spelling on a letterboard, or pointing to pictures on an iPad. Some people may also communicate with behavior or the way we act. Not every autistic person can talk, but we all have important things to say. Number five, we socialize differently. Some of us might not understand or follow social rules that non-autistic people made up. We might be more direct than other people. Eye contact might make us uncomfortable. We might have a hard time controlling our body language or facial expressions, which can confuse non-autistic people or make it hard to socialize. Some of us might not be able to guess how people feel. This doesn't mean that we don't care how people feel. We just need people to tell us how they feel so we don't have to guess. Some autistic people are extra sensitive to other people's feelings. Number six, we might need help with daily living. It can take a lot of energy to live in a society built for non-autistic people. We may not have the energy to do some things in our daily lives, or parts of being autistic can make doing those things too hard. We may need help with things like cooking, doing our jobs, or going out. We might be able to do things on our own sometimes, but need help other times. We might need to take more breaks so we can recover our energy. Not every autistic people will relate to all these things. There are a lot of different ways to be autistic. That is okay. Autism affects how we think, how we communicate, and how we interact with the world. Autistic people are different than non-autistic people, and that's okay. ASAN advocates for a world where all autistic people have equal access, rights, and opportunities. Nothing about us without us. ASAN also has a great book called Welcome to the Autism Community. Check it out if you get the chance. And before we get into Anthony Iani's interview, I'm going to tell you something that I told my students a couple weeks ago, and it really comes from this ASAN definition. All autistic people deserve understanding and acceptance. My name is Tim Villegas, and you are listening to the Think Inclusive podcast presented by MCIE. This podcast exists to build bridges between families, educators, and disability rights advocates to create a shared understanding of inclusive education and what inclusion looks like in the real world. To find out more about who we are and what we do, check us out at thinkinclusive.us or on the socials, Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Also, take our podcast listener survey. Your responses will help us develop a better podcast experience. Go to bit.ly/TIPodcastSurvey to submit your responses. We appreciate it. Today on the podcast, we talk to Anthony Iani, the first autistic Division I college basketball player and author of the book Centered. We talk about what it was like growing up not knowing about his autism diagnosis until high school, playing for the Michigan State basketball team, and what he would tell young people on the autism spectrum about following their dreams. Thanks so much for listening. I'm glad you're here. And now, our interview with Anthony Iani. Okay, so today on the Think Inclusive podcast, I have Anthony Iani, who is the author of the book Centered, Autism, Basketball, and One Athlete's Dreams. He is a former basketball star on for the Michigan State Spartans. I cannot wait to talk to you about that. So welcome to the podcast, Anthony.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So why don't you just introduce yourself to our audience? Our audience is mostly educators, so some special education teachers, some general education teachers. We have principals and district administrators that listen, and then we also have families of children with disabilities. So in case no one knows who you are, go ahead and introduce yourself to our listeners.
Absolutely. So I'm Anthony Iani. I'm a current national motivational speaker and autism self-advocate. A little bit about my background. When I was 4 years old, I was diagnosed with pervasive developmental disorder, which is part of the autism spectrum. And at age five, a group of doctors and professionals told me that because I have autism, I would barely graduate from high school, never go to college, never be an athlete, and likely end up in a group institution with other autistic individuals just like myself for the rest of my life. I wasn't told this till going into my freshman year of high school. So that kind of became my motivation to go out and prove those people and any other doubters and naysayers that had my life wrong. Had to work hard at everything, whether it was school, basketball, my social life especially. And I had a lot of support from, you know, not just my family, but from my teammates, my coaches, my teachers, and all my friends. So I ended up graduating from Okemos High School in 2007, where I then went on to Grand Valley State University for 2 years on a full scholarship for basketball. Didn't quite work out for me there, so I decided to leave Grand Valley State to fulfill my lifelong dream, which was to play for a certain coach at a certain university. So I ended up leaving for to go play for Coach Izzo and the Michigan State Spartans, where I was a walk-on for 2 years. My senior year, Coach Izzo awarded me a full-ride scholarship. I was a part of two Big Ten championship teams, team that won the Big Ten tournament title, team that went to a Final Four, played with a great group of guys who I'm proud to call all of them my brothers to this day. But during my time at Michigan State, I actually became the NCAA's first Division I college basketball player with an autism diagnosis at that time. So I'm still proud of that title to this day. And I also got my bachelor's degree in sociology from Michigan State, which is social science. So now I've been doing motivational speaking for the last 9 years, whether that's going into schools, talking to grades 3-12, doing autism conferences, events, speaking to sports teams, universities. So yeah, that's kind of me. I'm also husband and father of two beautiful, handsome sons. So I got a 6-year-old Knox and a 3-year-old son named Nash. So I stay pretty busy, but that's pretty much me in a nutshell.
Awesome. So are your sons' names after basketball players? Just curious.
No, so actually a lot of my friends and even some of my high school players, I help coach girls basketball here in Livonia. And when Knox was born, everybody was thinking, oh, connection to Knoxville, Tennessee. I'm like, no, like my wife got the name from Dead Poets Society. One of the characters was named Knox. And so she was just a big fan of it. And then Nash, we always talked about Nash, being our firstborn's first name, but we went with Knox and we were always a big fan of Nash. And so after Nash was born, some of my basketball players were sending me texts saying, Knoxville and Nashville, you're going to name your third kid, you're going to name it Louis after Louisville. And I'm like, God, jeez. So I get that question asked me all the time. But, a lot of people really love their names. And we really wanted to come up with names that, not a lot of people have even heard of or even used. So, but yeah, I love being a dad, though. It's a lot of work, though, but, I wouldn't trade anything for it.
Awesome. So in the well, let's talk about your book first. Let's talk about why you wanted to write it. So, I mean, you have obviously a fantastic story, right? Meeting Tom Izzo and then kind of like deciding from the very beginning, like, this is what I want, this is my dream, right? But at the other end of it, after your basketball, after playing basketball, and now as a father and motivational speaker, so what was the reason behind writing the book?
Obviously, for multiple reasons. Obviously, I wanted to educate people more about what autism is, because I know there are a lot of folks out there who may see me speak and then automatically get that assumption of, well, how is he on the autism spectrum? Because he looks like a, normal person. It's just like talking one-on-one with somebody. But I've also told people, about my background being on the spectrum, which is I'm very black and white. Like if somebody says something to me today, I may take it the complete opposite sometimes. Growing up as a younger kid, I had a tough time understanding nouns, verbs, idioms, sarcasms, jokes. I had a really tough time dealing with fire drills, loud noises, crowd noises from Michigan State football and basketball games that I could barely go to because a lot of that stimulation from the arena is just too much of an overload for me. And I wanted people to read more. I wanted people to read about that. And not only did I want people to be educated about what autism is, but I wanted, for those who maybe are not affected by autism, if they're going through some tough times in life, to read my story and get as much hope and inspiration as they can out of it. And, the one thing I've always told people that about this book is that it's not just a Michigan State thing. And, I've had a conversation with a couple of fans, whether they're Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State, Notre Dame, whatever. A lot of them said, well, is this mainly just about Michigan State? I'm like, no, like it's more than that. Like I'm like, I would always say to like a Notre Dame fan, like Rudy wasn't just about Notre Dame, it was more than that. Or Glory Road was not just about Texas Western's basketball team. Like it was there was messages behind those movies and behind those stories. And so it's the same with so with the book. Like there's a lot of messages and stories in there, and we kind of did a few things too that I don't think a lot of people would do. So, for example, I don't want to give too much of the book away, but we put some of my IEP evaluations in there.
Yeah,
And
I saw that.
so we kind of look back on that. And because my co-author, Rob Keyes, who helped me write the book, he asked me if I wanted to put those evaluations in there. And I really hesitated at first because there's a lot of personal things written in those evaluations that I look back on. I'm like, yeah, I'm not really too proud of that. Or, that was stuff out of my control because I was 6 years old at the time. I didn't know any better. But then, when I thought about not putting the evaluations in there, Rob says something to me that'll always stick out in my mind forever as an author, which is don't do what's best for you, the author, do what's best for your readers. Because, people who are going to read these evaluations, whether it's educators, professionals, students, families affected by autism in some way, like they're going to look at these evaluations and go, wow, like, look where Anthony Ianni was in kindergarten and look where he ended up being by the time he was a freshman in high school. And so Rob wanted me to sleep on it to give it some thought, but I didn't even sleep on it because I waited 20 minutes and I called him right back and I said, all right, let's do it. So but we really wanted to show people too, like this is the effects that autism had on me as a younger kid, and this is the effects it still has on me to this day. And so, overall, we just really wanted to educate people and obviously give people the hope, that hope and inspiration that they're trying to look for today.
Yeah, I think it comes across in a powerful way. So I don't know if you know this about me, but I was a special education teacher for for many years, 16 years in public schools.
Okay. Wow.
And so I was one of the people writing the reports, you know what I mean? So mm-hmm. it's something that I thought about, you know, when I saw, you know, the excerpts in the book was, wow, it's like, you know, I'm writing when I wrote for these reports, right? Mm-hmm. they're of course private and confidential, right? But they tell a story, right? They tell a story of the person that I'm writing about, and I always knew that, but to see it in a different context, it was like, oh, that, you know, that reminded me of the feeling of sitting down and writing down, you know, observing a student coming down, sitting at my computer and writing, and what that really means and what that's trying to right. communicate, you know, to whoever, whether it's a parent or someone trying to help, or, you know, 10, 15 years down the road, you know, when you're writing a book. There's something you said at the beginning where you talked about, you know, you go and you speak and people are like, do you really have autism?
Yep.
You autism? You know? So, I wanted to know, you know, what's your reaction and kind of where do you think that's coming from? Like that question.
I think it's just based on, you know, people looking at me as a person, because, you know, whenever people see me or meet me for the first time, and then I tell them my story about being diagnosed with autism, their initial reaction is, well, how? Like, I just don't see it because of the way you act with people, because of the way you present yourself in public as a professional. And, you know, I've had some people come up to me and say, well, you don't have those kind of characteristics, you know, a person with autism would have. And I would always pose the question of, all right, well, what characteristics are you talking about? You know, I've had people say to me, you don't look like a typical person with autism. And then my response always is, well, what is a typical person with autism supposed to look like? You know, it's like, you know, some people, you know, have never seen, so I'm 6'9". I'll use this, you know, this may be good, a good example. I don't know. So I'm 6'9". I'm very, very tall, you know, a very tall individual. Like, some people just look at me and they'll give me like, just stares like this, like looking at me. Like, it's one thing if elementary school kids do it to me, because, you know, they're 9, 10, 11 year olds. It's funny. But like, you know, when an adult does it to me, I'm like, man, like, it's like, you guys have never seen a really tall person before. Like, you never seen a 6'9" person before. Like, so for example, if you're hanging around me and my friends would be super sarcastic in the group or even a group chat, and I can't tell sometimes if my best friend from high school is joking with me or if he's being serious. And those are a lot of the things I struggle with to this day. And like, you know, just sitting at a dinner table with people and like people joking around, like I don't catch jokes really well, because that's part of the language aspect I struggle being on the spectrum. And so, but I get, you know, I'm always going to have people, you know, come up to me or just rate, but I always ask people the question whenever I do my presentations at conferences. And so I'll bring up the question of, all right, before I started speaking and you read my story, but then you heard me speak, who automatically in this room assumed that Anthony Iannini doesn't have autism, like, because they don't see it. And a good 70-30 of the room will raise their hands. And I'm like, hey, I'm not offended by it. I get it all the time, because, you know, I always tell people, like, if you sit down for 2-3 hours with me, whether it's having dinner or having lunch, breakfast, a coffee or tea, whatever, like I've always told those individuals, like, I guarantee you'll walk away from that conversation having a better understanding of where I'm at on the spectrum. And that's another reason why I wanted to write the book too, is because, you know, you will, like, the first 9 chapters, you get to read more about what I was like as a kid. And when you read those chapters, you'll walk away from those and go, okay, now I understand why Anthony Iannini was diagnosed on the spectrum, because this is what he said and did as a younger kid. This is what bothered him. This is what triggered him.
Yeah. So, and that I think that comes across in the book, you know, the not shying away from it or not trying to separate yourself from autism,
right,
which I feel that, you know, some people feel like they need to do that. You know, mm-hmm. it's kind of like this idea of overcoming your disability. So like,
right.
So I'm wondering about that, you know, what your, if you could expound on that idea of, you know, you have embraced your autistic identity as far as like, this is who I am. Mm-hmm. Had you always felt that way, or do you feel like, well, like I have to overcome my autism to be who I really am, or whatever?
No, I really didn't have that mindset of I need to overcome my autism to become who I am today. In high school, like I just found out going to my freshman year of high school, I just found out like what my diagnosis was. I knew something. I did things and said things that were completely different and out of the ordinary from everybody else as a younger kid. So I kind of had an idea of, okay, well, I have a disability. I don't know what it is. So, but then when my parents finally told me what my diagnosis was, it all made sense to me. But at the same time, like the only thing I was focused on in high school was proving every single doubter and, doctor and professional wrong who said I wasn't going to achieve anything in my life because of autism. Like I was not going to let their words define my future, and I wasn't going to let autism define what I do in my life, because only one person was going to define what I was going to do in life, and that was myself. And so that was kind of my, like, I didn't even think about, autism on the basketball court. I didn't think about autism like in the classroom. I was still reminded though, because I had the accommodations for test taking. I had the accommodations when it came to my resource room and my IEPs and et cetera. So, and when I got to college, like the goal was to graduate. The goal was to be at Michigan State. The goal was to win a Big Ten championship, make it to a Final Four, and maybe win a national championship during my time there. I didn't really embrace of being proud of having autism until after I graduated from Michigan State, because the realization of finally graduating, but also realizing that you proved every doctor and professional in your life wrong who said you couldn't get to this point, and you got there despite having autism. But at the same time, you made a lot of history in your life because of being on the autism spectrum. So that's when I embraced it fully and said to myself, all right, you need to be proud of who you are and what you are diagnosed with, because if you do that, other people are going to see that, and some people will follow you because they'll embrace who they are. They'll embrace what they are proud for. And I actually spoke at a charter academy in Grand Rapids, Michigan, 4 or 5 years ago. And I had a young student, a young fifth grader. And so after the presentation, I did a private group meeting with an all autism classroom. And so I had a kid raise his hand and say, ask me the question, are you proud to have autism? Because I'm not. Like, I just feel like that I'm alone. Like, I feel like that, some people can't relate to what I go through. And I flat out said to him, yes, I am very proud of having autism because autism is part of me. Like, autism helped me become who I am today. Autism helped me make history, not once, but twice in my life in multiple ways. And so, but then when I mentioned to the young man that we have over 3.5 million people in the United States who have autism, that number may be more because that was 5 years ago when I said that. So I'll have to kind of look up to see what the stats are for that. But it was over 3.5 million. And when I mentioned that stat to him, he was blown away by that. He was like, wait, what? Like, there's 3.5 million people in our country that are like me. I'm like, yeah, there are. And so that's why I'm proud to not only be on the autism spectrum, but I'm proud to be part of a great community, the autism community. And so, and that's a big reason why I do what I do today, because as a self-advocate, is I don't just do what I do, because it's a job. I do what I do for the people in my life, my family. I do what I do for the community, the autism community.
If you were talking to another young, like a young person, like let's say on the spectrum, and you met them, what's kind of your big message to them, whether it's from the book or just your own life? Like, what is the one thing that you want to communicate to a young person on the spectrum?
Don't let anybody tell you can't do anything in life despite having autism. If you have dreams or goals in life, like go get your dreams and goals. Like, don't let anybody tell you ever can't do anything, because autism doesn't define you at the end of the day. Like, you define yourself. And that's my message that I've always had to young people on the autism spectrum, is that, a lot of folks, a lot of kids I've met and a lot of students I've met with autism, like they have a lot of dreams and goals and aspirations. Like, they want to go to college. They want to graduate. They want to be police officers. They want to be athletes down the road in whatever sport it is. And here's a good example for you. So the first school I represented at my entire career, it was at a middle school. It was over 9 years ago around this time. And, So I do a lot of anti-bullying presentations in schools. So I get a phone call the next day from this mom who has a son with autism telling me that her son was bullied for 5 years because her son's bully knew he had autism. And after the presentation, the bully ended up apologizing to her son. And I was blown away by that. And I actually stayed in touch with the family over the years. And I find out from his mom that because of my story, her son wanted to go to a major university and graduate. And so he ended up being a very, very good high school wrestler. And he ended up graduating from Ferris State University. And now he works in the Kalamazoo County. The Ionia County Sheriff's Department. He's a police officer because that's what he wanted to do ever since he was a kid. And when I hear stuff like that, I'm like, man, like, you know what? He did all this stuff that he said he was going to do. And he didn't let autism get in the way of it. Instead, he did the opposite. He embraced it. And so I stay in touch with this young man to this day. And, you know, so not only did it become, you know, a bond, but it became a friendship. I got a friendship out of it too. And so, but that's why I always tell kids that, hey, anything you have set in life, as far as goals and achievements, like they are possible. They are very possible because, you know, at the end of the day, we actually don't dream our lives because at the end of the day, we actually live them. And that's always a message I'm always going to tell a young person with autism, no matter what.
Where can people find more about you and your book?
So they can go to my website, which is anthonyianni.com. If they would like to purchase the book, it's also available on Amazon and as well as iupress.com and Barnes & Noble and Schuler's.
Awesome. Are you on the socials or anything? Facebook, Instagram?
Oh yeah. I'm on all three of them. So my Twitter handle is at AI44LYD. Facebook, it's just my name, Anthony Ianni. And then my Instagram name is at AI Game Changer 44.
Well, thanks for sharing that. I appreciate that. I appreciate that story. And thank you for sharing your story with our listeners. I think this is going to be really enlightening. And whoever is listening, make sure to check out Centered by Anthony Ianni and check out his website and everything on the socials. So, Anthony Ianni, thank you so much for being on the Think Inclusive podcast. We appreciate your time.
No, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
That will do it for this episode of the Think Inclusive podcast. Subscribe to the Think Inclusive podcast via Apple Podcasts, the Anchor app, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Have a question or comment? Email us your feedback at podcast@thinkinclusive.us. We love to know that you're listening. Thank you to patrons Veronica E., Sonia A., Pamela P., Mark C., and Kathleen T. for their continued support of the podcast. When you become a patron, your contribution helps us with the cost of audio production, transcription, and promotion of the Think Inclusive podcast. And you could even get a shout out like the fine people we just mentioned. Go to patreon.com/thinkinclusivepodcast to become a patron today and get access to all our unedited interviews, including our conversation with Anthony Ianni. Thank you for helping us equip more people to promote and sustain inclusive education. This podcast is a production of MCIE, where we envision a society where neighborhood schools welcome all learners and create the foundation for inclusive communities. Learn more at mcie.org. We will be back in a couple of weeks with another Best of Think Inclusive episode, Volume 2, to round out 2021. Also, you might have noticed a few more bonus episodes in the podcast feed lately. That is because we are now publishing our newsletter, The Weekly-ish, as a podcast, along with the video and text versions, just in case you couldn't get enough inclusionist content. Thanks for your time and attention, and for listening. Until next time, remember, inclusion always works.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.